From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you. Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today, as we always are. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. I'm Bill Michaels. Jeff Orlowski across from me as we continue to get you ready for the Packers and the Seahawks upcoming later on this evening. Don't forget the Green and Gold postgame show immediately following the game. Gary Ellerson's back, so he'll be here with us. And Radio Joe off until next week as he is doing the morning show locally on 105.7 FM, The Fan, our flagship station out of Milwaukee. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com here. Pete, how you doing?
Good, Bill. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I guess my question right out of the chute is, how desperate should the Green Bay Packers to be to get this win?
Oh, you know, I think they were a little more desperate last week, but you know, the question is, does it take 9 or 10 wins to get in the playoffs? And if it takes 10, this is one they probably need to win. So, I mean, you know, there's only 16 of them, so there's got to be some level of desperation for all of them. But I mean, put it this way, if they lose, I don't think they're out of it. If they lose today, I don't think they're out of it.
If they lose, then it pretty much becomes a necessity for them to then run the table, correct?
Probably maybe 5-1 after this, or what do they have? 7? Yeah, so 5-1 after this would do it, maybe. That would get them to 9-6-1. I mean, you beat out the 9-7 teams. So I would, I don't know, I give 9-6-1, I'd probably give maybe a 50% chance of making the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. For them to win tonight, because I had said, look, it's a lot of little things that have cost this team. Fumble here and there, some key penalties here and there. Some of the things that have cost them have not just been where teams are just beating them, but it's kind of their own self-inflicted wounds. So how far away are they from being a good team?
I'm still not sure. I think a lot of it just comes down to the quarterback playing better. You know, I'm sure that knee injury is affecting his accuracy. You know, those MCL sprains, the bones hit together when the sprain happens. So the MCL or whatever ligament he injured is probably healed by now because he's not using a brace anymore. But the bone bruise, especially because he's practicing and playing on it, those heal really slowly and they're painful. And because something's off, I mean, he's just missing more throws in one game than he would miss in a month or more. When he's on top of his game.
I look at Aaron Rodgers, and that was the other question I was going to ask you. We went through that last night. Is it something as simple as simply saying, well, Randall Cobb's gone, Devontae Adams is being doubled, so is Jimmy Graham, no Geronimo Allison, and you're playing with the rest rookies, that he's just off? Is it that simple, or going to what you had said, maybe there's a lingering effect from that collarbone break that we saw last year, and maybe it's just not anything anybody's talking about?
You know, I talked to a doctor with another team before they had the surgery, and he said one of the reasons you do the surgery is to make sure the bone doesn't lengthen or shorten, so it's the same length, so mm-hmm. that it doesn't affect his throwing motion. And I was talking with a sports doctor just a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about longevity of players, and I asked him if he thought that if the collarbone could be a longevity problem because it's on the throwing side, and he didn't think so. So I'm not saying that it couldn't be that, you know, I mean, we don't know, but my guess is I lean more strongly towards it being the knee. And look, he played, remember the second half 15, the first half of 16?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he basically was playing then like he's playing now.
So do you think he has? Do you think he has? Well, does he have those quality numbers in him right now with this personnel group, or do you think it's going to still take a little while to get on the same page with a lot of the young guys?
Yeah, I don't. You know, those guys look pretty good to me. Valdez Scantling looks really good. He's not doing is he's not making as many plays outside the pocket. He's scrambling now, but he's just running and sliding or throwing the ball away. So I think that'll be the thing to get him to that next level, is to start making plays outside the pocket where he's making those backbreaking throws where they think they've got him. He escapes, and then he hits somebody for a 15 or 20 yard gain.
Obviously, no Kevin King, Kentrell Bryce. You're banged up in that secondary. They can't really afford another injury back there, can they?
No, but you know, signing Breland, that sure helped.
Yeah.
And, Alexander's their best guy back there. I mean, he's really good. So I think they're okay. But you're right. You know, they're an injury away from having some problems now.
The other side of the coin, when you talk about the defense, is more the defensive front. They lead this league in sacks. I mean, they're tied for the league lead. They've got, 10 or 11 against two, you know, one Miami and San Francisco, or Buffalo, excuse me, Buffalo. How good are they? Because the numbers are the numbers at the end of the year. I mean, everybody kind of plays good and bad competition, and you feast on the bad competition. Yeah. But how good are they in your eyes?
You know, I think the numbers, they don't always tell the full story. And I think this is not one of the best 10 pass rushing teams in the league, I don't think, because they don't have anybody against good quarterbacks. They don't have anybody who can just beat his guy and get a sack. So they have to do it with scheme and all that. I mean, they've done well. I think Fenton's, you know, kind of started figuring things out with his personnel. And so, you know, they're considering their personnel, their pass rushing personnel, they're doing pretty well. But I don't know. I would guess if you were like just going, asking a scout to rank all the pass rushing teams, the units, I would guess they're middle of the pack at best, and maybe not even that.
Talking with Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. So last night we're doing the huddle, and we got into this discussion about Mike McCarthy and job, you know, security and longevity and such. And one of the beliefs is that Ted never got rid of Mike, even in some of those years in which you thought, could this be the end? Because maybe Ted deep down knew that he didn't have as much talent to work with. If you're Brian Gutekunst and you're looking at this going, I had to jettison a lot of the guys that Ted drafted, even if they were high draft picks, because they're just not that good. I'm trying to get out from a bad Nick Perry contract. I've got the end of a Clay Matthews contract coming up. I'm getting out from underneath Randall Cobb, who's not as productive and banged up this year. I'll have money to spend. Do you upset the apple cart at the end of this season if it doesn't turn out the way you think it should with Mike McCarthy and make the move now, maybe trying to, you know, garner those last 4 years or 5 years of Aaron Rodgers? Or do you keep him and say familiarity is what works best in the National Football League, and it's just a matter of giving him enough talent to work with? Where would you fall on that fence?
Yeah, that is that's the big question. And I still, you know, I want to see how the rest of the season plays out. I think there is something to the argument that coaches generally have a shelf life at a place, you know, 10, 12 years somewhere in there. So that's worth considering. It's not a hard and fast rule. Some have done well and won Super Bowls later. But you look at the history of the league, I think there's merit to that. If your gut's telling you that you might need to make a move, then you probably should just make the move. Stability is great. It just depends on what Gutekunst and Murphy think of them. You know, it's Murphy's call, although from what I've heard, you know, if Gutekunst has a strong feeling one way or the other, Murphy would probably, go with what he said. I can't give you a definitive answer. You know, and I think we do need to see how the season plays out, but you know, the relationship with the coach and the quarterback, too, is so important. And if that's not going well, then, you know, something's got to change.
Do you think it's not going well? Do you think there's a lot simmering below the surface?
It sure doesn't look like it. I mean, the quarterback doesn't look like he's having any fun, does he?
No, he doesn't. But I don't know if that's just a product of losing, or if it's a product of frustration, or it's a product of he's not being given the opportunity to do his own thing under this head coach. I mean, I don't know.
You know, I think it seems to be all that. I mean, if you look at his comments after the Buffalo game, I think you can tell he's not crazy about the scheme. I think that's kind of obvious. That was kind of a veiled shot at the scheme. So it doesn't seem great, put it that way. And, you know, you look at how, you know, Breeze and Peyton, you know, that looks like a pretty tight relationship. I think that permeates the whole organization. So, you know, and you're right. If they go on a winning binge here, maybe all is forgotten and forgiven, winning cures everything.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, going back to this game tonight, and I talked about it being a big game, I think you lose this one, then you've proven to yourself that you can't win against good teams on the road. Yes, I know historically everything's stacked against them, but, you know, you can come back and beat Minnesota, and you can, in essence, run the table, which is not the easiest thing to do. It could still happen. You're not mathematically dead, but At some point, it begins to grind on you that you just can't get it done. I just think tonight's such an incredibly big game against a foe that you've traditionally had some problems with. So you get, I think, a loss tonight validates what you may believe already. A win tonight, I think, then it's exponentially huge in the sense that you've kind of gotten rid of a lot of demons. Would that be a fair way of putting it?
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying, and you know, there's a lot of truth to it. The only thing that keeps me hesitant is 2016, and they lost those two games at Washington and at Tennessee, and they looked terrible and looked like they were done and falling apart, and they're 4-6, and then they go on a run and end up playing in the NFC Championship. So this would be the 10-week point two, and they'd be what, 4-5-1, basically the same situation. So, you know, I just wouldn't completely write it off just because with that quarterback, they can go on the run. The difference being maybe this year, maybe the knee is just a little too much for the quarterback to get on that kind of a roll. I'm not sure.
How much stock you put in when Randall Cobb was asked about the RELAX and running the table and all that stuff, and he responded with, "I don't know, this just feels different." I mean, we all wanted to read into this as some kind of negative aspect. I mean, did you read in the same?
Well, I don't read into it that he's given up or anything, but I read into it that he's maybe not feeling as good about their chances as he did back in 2016 when they were 4-6. That's how I looked at it.
Yeah, no, which is basically the way I would. I don't think he'd ever say, "Hey, I just don't think it's going to happen." But I certainly think that there's this level of maybe skepticism in the back of the mind going, "I don't know if we've got enough here to be able to make that kind of a run."
Yeah, frustration, maybe a little anger in that too.
Yeah, no doubt. Pete, always a pleasure, buddy. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon, okay?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Absolutely, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette. Read his stuff there. Always has something good. PackersNews.com as well. Again, Pete Doherty, the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. Guys, if you're still struggling with ED, erectile dysfunction, don't be deceived by all the noise out there about the pills. ED can be caused by many, many underlying health issues or just normal aging. The problem is with the pills, they don't get to the root of the problem. They have some side effects. Call the medical experts at Neumel Medical. They're going to create an ED solution just for you. Just for you. And by the way, if you don't see the results in your first visit, free. Absolutely free. If you're sluggish, if you're moody, if you have brain fog, if you don't have any stamina, you're just slowing down, could have low T like I did. All you got to do is call. Make the call. I stopped in. I got it checked. They called me back and said, "Yep, you're low. Let's set up a plan." Plenty of energy. I'm tackling my crazy busy life. And you know that because you're pretty much, I take you with me everywhere I go. And if you want to shed some pounds, check out Neumel's all-in-one weight loss program. Down over 50 pounds and keeping it off. I'm feeling younger, getting back in the game. Guys, just call. Call the Neumel Medical Center today. 414-455-4451. Locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Call them today. 414-455-4451. Mike Clemens of NFL Sirius Radio going to join us coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. I want to remind you that our friends at Cousins Subs, if you are going to be out and about, you're going to start holiday gift shopping, there is nothing that says love like a Cousins Subs. All you got to do is get them a gift card, $25 gift card. Send them to Cousins Subs a couple of times, unless you're buying a whole bunch for everybody. Send them to Cousins Subs a couple of times. The best part about it is the gift that keeps on giving. You buy the $25 gift card, and in return, you also get a free 7.5-inch sub, so you can sit down, relax while you're out there shopping. Good stuff. That's from Cousins Subs. Go to CousinsSubs.com, download the mobile app on any mobile device you may have, or just simply walk into the store, just like everybody else. Walk into the store, sit down, take a load off, enjoy yourself. Or maybe tonight, go buy the gift card, take home that 7.5-inch sub, sit back, relax, watch the Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks, and then after the game, tune into the Green and Gold postgame show and give us a call. Myself, Gary Ellerson, Mike Clemens, we're all going to be here hanging out tonight, so looking forward to that as well. Speaking of Mike Clemens, he is on the line on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
Sounds like a plan, man. That's what I'm going to get for.
Be doing that tonight.
Taking that to the game tonight. So one of the things you're always looking for is a little juice in a game, is matchups or maybe a little revenge. And so Jimmy Graham didn't get renewed by the Seattle Seahawks after he spent three seasons there, 15, 16, and 17. And so Aaron Rodgers was asked by Dave Schrader, who's, you know, been on the show. He covers sports for Channel 2 in Green Bay. He said, what do you think about Jimmy Graham? You know, like when, Julius Peppers. Remember Julius Peppers gave a speech about why we got to beat the Bears after he left the Bears and came to Green Bay?
Right.
Is Jimmy Graham going to say that? So listen to this question.
Do you sense any added anticipation with Jimmy going back to face his former team? I know over the years Julius was impassioned and gave a speech before coming to the Bears the first time. Do you sense any of that with Jimmy this week?
You guys should ask him about that.
What have you seen?
Look, I mean, I haven't talked to him about it, but he played there, so obviously there's extra incentives anytime you're playing against a former team or, you know, somebody who let you go or whatever the circumstances might be. Every week there's, you know, individual matchups or guys you played against in college or connection with the coaches. But yeah, I mean, he was there for a number of years and had a lot of success. I'm sure he wouldn't mind catching a couple tugs in that game.
I have a feeling they're going to try to go to him more, Mike. I know you and I were talking last night that basically a lot of the teams that are covering the Packers are saying, we're going to double Jimmy Graham, we're going to double Davante Adams, and we're going to go ahead and let the young guys beat us. And I would assume that's the way Seattle's going to play this thing too.
You would think after 3 years there, he knows where the holes are in Pete Carroll and Kent Norton Jr.'s, you know, defense out there every day to practice,
mm-hmm.
how to go about it. When we tried to talk to Pete Carroll on a teleconference, I've been doing this for years. This is the first time this ever happened. We were able to contact Pete Carroll while he was driving in Seattle, and the phone kept on disconnecting. But, you know, he kept it lighthearted. I'll play a little bit of this recording for you.
Hello, Pete.
Hey there. What's up?
Nothing. How are you?
Oh, fine. Thanks for asking.
You know, what are you guys doing so well defensively where you've lost a lot of, obviously, big name marquee players, and you just seem to be plugging along like almost like normal?
You know, we have a real strong philosophy, and we've maintained.
And the phone drops off.
Yeah, but I mean, he didn't.
Call him back.
Hi. I don't know what's going on.
Of course. Hold on one second. Okay, can you guys hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, great.
Sorry. He said that was his best answer this year.
Well, I hope you memorized it.
I'm sorry. That's the one time I can answer it that way, and I'm done. Next question. No, I'm just talking about how we have set standards on the style and the philosophy from a long time back, and we've.
And then it cut out again.
Wow.
And then went back and forth four times before we just gave up. So maybe he needs to get rid of the flip phone and get something else.
Yeah, you would assume he's got a deal out there. I mean, it was CenturyLink for a while, or CenturyLink now, and it was Quest for a while. And he's got the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would assume so.
So Mike McCarthy did a phone conference for them, of course, and I got a recording of that from out there. And he was talked about, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, who's, you know, made the rounds. He's the son of Marty Schottenheimer. Marty Schottenheimer, the longtime coach of the Chiefs, the Browns before that, gave Mike McCarthy his first shot at the NFL back in 93. Joe Montana was the coach there. And now Brian Schottenheimer currently is the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks, working for Pete Carroll, coaching Russell Wilson. Mike Solari is the offensive line coach. He coached those good Jim Harbaugh 49ers teams when they, you know, were such a powerhouse then. And so Mike McCarthy was asked about his relationship with Brian Schottenheimer.
Well, Brian, I mean, it goes all the way back to 1993. I've been very fortunate to work for his father in Kansas City, who's, you know, I think a mentor to all of us that's had a chance to spend time with Marty and even Pat Schottenheimer. His mother was a, you know, big impact on myself personally and professionally. So, you know, I've known Brian since 1993 and kind of watch him go through the high school, college years, and into coaching. So I'm very happy for his success.
Pat Schottenheimer. Mrs. Marty Schottenheimer was a big influence on young Mike McCarthy.
Right. How about that, huh?
Sandwiches or... that was something I hadn't heard before.
I didn't know that. Next year. I mean, I don't know. Maybe she did his laundry.
Well, you know, who knows? McCarthy kept his teleconference short with Seattle. I don't think it had anything to do with the disconnected with Pete Carroll. But he was asked, so, you know, we covered Jimmy Graham here in Seattle. How's Jimmy Graham working out for you guys in Green Bay?
Jimmy's been a real asset to our football team. He's an excellent fit in the locker room and obviously a very good player. You know, I think anytime you have players that transition from, you know, other opportunities, it may take longer than you like, but I think he's a great fit for us. We're real happy he's here. Is that it? Take care.
Penny was gone.
He didn't really give him time to ask another question. Is that it? Gotta go. See ya. Gotta go.
4-minute press conference on the telephone, and he was gone. But interesting that he said, sometimes it takes a little longer than you think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'd like to think that the time is now of the essence, and it's not taking longer anymore, that this is the game in which he comes out and has a big game. Mike, you got time for another segment?
Absolutely.
Hang in there. Let's do this. We're going to go and take a quick break. When we come back, we have more of Mike Clemens, who's joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, and we've got a lot more to discuss regarding this matchup between the Packers and the Seahawks coming up tonight. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
That was, what, 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago? It is what it is at this point. All you do is learn and you grow from it. You know, I grew from it and I grew past it. So I'm ready to go back in that environment again and, you know, make some new memories.
Welcome back to the program. We are glad to have you. Hey, coming up at the Lodge Kohler kickoff this Monday night at Tavern in the Sky, Lance Kendricks is going to be our guest live and in person, the former Badger, now Packer tight end. So hopefully you get a chance to come out and join us, be a face in the crowd. That's this Monday night, the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Lance Kendricks is going to be there live and in person. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Mike, talking last night about this game and about whether or not the Packers should or shouldn't get a win, or desperate or not desperate and such. And I guess the question is, for the history that would be against this team and the fact that statistically the Seahawks are better, what makes you think, if at all, that the Packers can get a win in this one?
I guess that Aaron Rodgers plays sharper than he has the last couple of weeks. I think it has to start with that he starts slinging the ball around and it gets out faster out of his hands. Actually, this might be, though, a big night for Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams because, you know, the Seahawks defense is in total transition. The guys that were there, the Legion of Boom is completely gone now. And that ended with Earl Thomas being carted off the field and flipping off his teammates there with the Seattle Seahawks. So K.J. Wright's still one of their better linebackers, but he's doubtful for the game. But they're not very good against the run. And Ken Norton's taking a lot of heat for that, and that might be the opportunity, is to run the football like they did the other night against the Dolphins.
You and I talking last night with John Dodd about Aaron Rodgers, and we were just talking with Pete Doherty a little while ago, and Pete was saying that, you know, it's about this time of year when Aaron Rodgers really starts to kind of, you know, zero in on targets, so to speak. Do you see any of that? Do you see something in the offing that would tell you, okay, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to become Aaron Rodgers again?
Yeah, well, you know, you talk to some of these coaches, and we got Pete Carroll here, this cut six, Jeff. This is what you hear from these other coaches. No one's talking about, the last three games, boy, Aaron's got a lot of throwaways. They just talk about everything else about this guy's game and how ridiculous it is. And Pete Carroll this is what he's telling his defense and how they're going to try and defend number 12.
Wow, there's a lot to his game. His instincts are extraordinary, and he uses those, and they show up in so many different ways. His ability to move in and around the pocket and find more space and create more time is as good as you get. It's not that he moves to run. He moves to find space, and then the whole field becomes available to him. He has an extraordinary motion and a release on the football with great arm strength that allows him to use the entire field. So when you add those two elements together, that he does find the space, creates another opportunity, and then has the ability to throw the ball whether he's moving left or right across field, it doesn't matter. He just has extraordinary ability, which also is part of the accuracy that's such a strong part of his game. So, I mean, he's also really smart, and he's been in the system, and he can utilize so many aspects of it during the course of the game. So he's just as difficult as you can get, and he looks as good as ever, and It ain't easy. He's really good.
Now, what do you think when Bill Belichick was mic'd up and he said to his defensive players on the bench, hey, you know what, Rodgers, he's just lobbing it up there. There's interceptions to be had. Is that just trying to encourage them, you know, that, hey, you know, this guy's not as tough as we said?
Well, he wasn't as sharp in that game.
Oh, he wasn't?
No.
So Belichick was being honest with his players. Hey, this guy's throwing rainbows.
But what I took away, Mike, from that game more so than anything was when he said, keep busting the guards.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that to me was like more telling.
Well, and in the second half, as well as the Packers' offense ran in L.A. in the Coliseum on that beautiful day out there in L.A. against the Rams, and they had the momentum, what happened in the second half? They somehow got either with when the Packers were in certain formations and they were a little more spread out, that's when Aaron Donald went one-on-one with Lane Taylor and beat him twice, just beat him twice, and went right in that inside gap. And because if they got Corey Linsley and they got Byron Bell to have to double-team some other guy, all you had then Donald had Lane Taylor one-on-one, couldn't stop him. And he got two big sacks and then had a couple of drives in L.A. about that. I thought your interview with Ty Davis the other night was excellent, and or Trevor Davis, rather. And, you know, he's not only wide receiver, number 11, but he'll be the kick returner tonight. He thinks he's going to go. But, you know, he even his second or third year in, he's still talking about it could be complicated being a wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers.
At times it could be tough. He has little subtleties that will change the complete route to something else, or it could be something you saw on the defense. But, I mean, as years go on, I feel like it's hard to play with him, but it's also easy because he's so good, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard in the fact that there's so much you need to learn to basically learn what he's thinking at the exact same time he's thinking it. But he's going to put the ball perfectly where it needs to be all the time. So, I mean, there's little things like that that happen within games once in a while. But for the most part, we're all the time on par with him. And we've been doing pretty good this year, wide receiver-wise, especially with the new guys coming in, learning the system. So, I mean, I think they've been doing really good.
I hope he can give them the spark that they need. Now, one of the things that I was talking about earlier was some of the stuff that they've done have been self-inflicted. You know, fumbles here, they've had some penalties and such, and some of the things that he addressed on special teams. I hope he comes back, no mistakes, no penalties, and maybe can give him at least a spark, or at the very least, hang on to the football and maybe flip the field a little bit for him and just give them a better opportunity. I don't think the team's asking for much more than that.
No, be smart with the football, not make, you know, just a total blunder, maybe a selfish decision like Ty Montgomery did trying to come out of the end zone. And speaking of Ty, you know, Aaron Jones had such a great game against the Dolphins, 15 carries, 145 yards, and a couple of nice pass receptions, too, for like 27 yards total. So I'm talking to Corey Linsley, the center, and listen to his kind of veiled compliments or backhanded comments about the Aaron Jones. Because I said to Aaron, I said, what's making the difference right now? And he says, I'm reading my double teams better, Aaron Jones, the running back. It's just second year in. And, you know, he had to serve the two-game suspension, but now he's feeling really good about where the zone blocking is going to lead him. And Corey, listen to Corey Linsley's comment on why Aaron Jones is just bursting through the line right now.
I mean, I think you can see everything on film that about what makes him good, but I think the thing that a lot of people don't see is how, you know, that you obviously don't see the inside of it is that he is a coachable guy. He's a guy that listens to us, listens to his coaches, listens to other players. He's a great teammate. Both of him and Jamal are both great teammates. They work their ass off, and you know, you don't have a bad thing to say about the guy. Knowing where his double teams are comes from listening to us, listening to his coaches, listening to everybody around him, and being able to be coached and take that onto the field.
And, you know, I wonder if there's a little bit there that when they say, look, it wasn't just based on one play, you know, it's based on other things. If there was times that Ty Montgomery was a little bit more of a maverick and wanted to do his things his own way, then rather than work as closely with the line or the offensive line coaches as perhaps he should have.
Real quick, defensively speaking, Mike, this team, I mean, Russell Wilson's playing pretty good this year. I mean, it's It's no secret. You look at his numbers, and they're pretty awesome for Russell Wilson and the team that we thought was going to begin to fall by the wayside the way they just kind of blew things up defensively in the offseason. How big of a problem does he still present with some of the weapons that he has around him?
Well, Clay Matthews says one of the things that's great about him is when he's looking downfield, as opposed to, you know, and of course they practice against a very good mobile quarterback in Aaron Rodgers every day. But Clay Matthews said, you know, Russell's still looking for that next open receiver.
You know, that's what Russell does really well is obviously he can move around in the pocket. And, you know, whereas most mobile quarterbacks are looking to run, he actually keeps his eyes downfield and, you know, does a great job of letting his receivers become uncovered and making big plays. Just makes it, you know, that much more difficult to get after him. Rush lane integrity, but at the same time, you need to take some chances and some shots because he's very elusive in the pocket. You know, well, we're hands full.
And another one of these connections in this game is Mike Pettine. What was he doing last year? He was actually a consultant to the Seattle Seahawks, defensive consultant. And he and Brian Schottenheimer, who, you know, grew up with Mike McCarthy and Marty, Schottenheimer worked for the Jets when Mike Pettine was the New York Jets defensive coordinator. And Schottenheimer talked about working with Pettine back in the day.
Do a really good job. The third down stuff that they do, they're very multiple. They bring a ton of pressure. They come from all kinds of different spots. Obviously was with Coach Pettine in New York for a couple years, so I know him pretty well. He's got a lot of fun wrinkles that are extremely difficult to pick up, so they do a really good job. That's probably the biggest thing that jumps off the film. The pressure numbers are off the charts, just what they bring, how much they bring percentage-wise, and just a really, really good defense, good front. A lot of respect for Daniels. Clark's playing really well, of course, Clay. Just a good defense, a really, really good defense. Young secondary, but talented, very, very confident. And so they're a very, very good group that plays at a high level quite a bit.
But, you know, he, Schottenheimer, and this Mike Solari, offensive line coach, what's really going for Seattle is the run game. This is the best run game they've had in 3 years when they had Marshawn Lynch and Kristen Michael and Thomas Rawls in the backfield. With this Chris Carson, he's coming on now. He's had a hip injury, but he should be good to go tonight. Mike Davis is good out of the backfield. And then the rookie, Rashad Penny, a first-round pick. Each of those guys have got at least a 100-yard game this season. That's the first time since they had Marshawn and company 3 years ago. So the Eddie Lacy experiment did not work out for them. But, you know, Patton tonight's got to worry about stopping the run game and then probably at least just containing Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I was going to say, some of the keys tonight, I think, are one, hang on to the football, no turnovers. I think you got to stick with the run, 15 to 18 carries for Aaron Jones, and hopefully they're successful carries. Don't take yourself out of rhythm. If you gain the rhythm and gain the momentum, hang on to it. Don't change things up just to try to be the smartest guy in the room. And the third thing is, if you play with a lead, I think your defense plays so much better. If you're asking your defense constantly to be able to kind of bail you out, offensively speaking, then you're going to lose this ball game.
And if there's an onside kick, Brandon Bostic, keep your hands to yourself.
Yeah, he's not here. I wouldn't even put him in the stadium if he asked for tickets.
Hey, Ryan Wood caught up with him. You know, I mean, he played for two or three other teams before he left the NFL. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, he said, sure, man. You know, the play still haunts me. If people find out who I am, they ask me about it. But you know something? In reading Ryan's story this morning, I flash back to earlier that spring. See, Brandon Bostic was a big-bodied guy. Big hands, big shoulders. You know, it looked like, oh, man, if that guy gets the football, nobody can bring him down. And when he did make some nice catches, you thought, this could be a really good second or third tight end. You never knew he was going to make a, you know, just an epic blunder on special teams. But you know what? Ron Wolf was standing there, and I was standing right by him. And when Bostic ran down the sideline to catch a deep pass and made a nice catch, Ron Wolf turned back to us and smiled, said, man, give me 10 more of those guys. Because mm-hmm. You know why? He looked just like Keith Jackson back in the day, the guy that Ron Wolf brought in for free agency, you know, during the Super Bowl run. As it turned out, he was no Keith Jackson.
Yeah, that's the deflation in your voice as you said that. It was pretty much speaks for itself. Mike, good stuff, and we'll talk to you tonight.
Thank you, Billy.
All right, pal, talk to you later. There you go, Mike Clements, NFL Sirius Radio, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Hey, if you buy a select gift card from a participating partner at Quick Trip and you have the rewards card, you will get 10 cents off per gallon of fuel. You can choose from a variety of gift cards, including Amazon, Xbox, Uber. There's so many more that are there. Just stop in, get your rewards card, get it set up, and then there you go. You're going to have the gift that keeps on giving. Plus, today only, don't forget, the Angus cheeseburgers or spicy chicken sandwiches, only $2.19. That's $2.19 for that big Angus cheeseburger or the spicy chicken sandwich, and that is only at Quick Trip. Going to go ahead and wrap things up when we come back. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks. 7:20 tonight on Thursday Night Football. Seattle fell to 4-5 after losing in L.A. to the Rams 36-31 in a game that went down to the final play. Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll.
We just have to stay alive. We got to keep going and keep this thing going as we finish this year. A lot of games coming up at home. We got to make a surge here and see what we can do. And I like our chances.
The Packers' Trevor Davis told Bill Michaels he expects to play tonight after recovering from a hamstring injury. Davis says he hopes he can add a spark on special teams.
There have been moments where we shined in kickoff return, and we've had a few good returns this year, but they all were called back from penalties, which is something huge we need to clean up, especially in special teams. I'm ready to get out there and help our guys out, and I think we can be really good.
The Seahawks defense has struggled against the run. The Chargers' Melvin Gordon and Rams' Todd Gurley each rushed for over 100 yards against Seattle the past 2 weeks. Green Bay's Aaron Jones is coming off a two-touchdown, 145-yard performance against Miami and says that helps out Aaron Rodgers.
I just think it opens up the pass game, a play action. You'll start seeing safeties just roll down in the box, and that leaves it open to go over the top.
And Rodgers says, yes, it would be nice to get a win in their first trip back to Seattle since January of 2015, when they lost the NFC Championship game in overtime, 28-22.
Well, yeah, that game will always be frustrating. You think about how it went down, some of the things that happened. Yeah, the sting's probably never going to go away from that one. That's natural.
That's Aaron Rodgers. I'm Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you are on board today. Today is National Beaujolais Day. Do you know that?
I was not aware of
that. Are
you
a wine drinker?
No, sir.
We might have to have a Beaujolais wine party. What the hell is a Beaujolais?
It kind of sounds like the French version of Bud Light, and if that's the case, I'm in.
This portion of the program then brought to you by Beaujolais. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Yeah, it's National Beaujolais Day. I didn't know that. You know what? Every day, if you search Facebook, you'll find National something or other.
Oh, yeah.
It's always out there. Hey, don't forget, coming up tonight, it is going to be yours truly, Gary Ellerson. Mike Clemens is going to be here. The voice you hear, Jeff Orlowski, is going to be here. We've got everybody in tonight as we start to break down the Packers and the Seahawks immediately following that game. So make sure you tune to many of these same network stations, and we'll discuss. And hopefully we're talking about a Packers win and not the beginning of the end for the Green Bay Packers in the 2018 season. But make sure you take a listen tonight coming up and participate. You can find us over on Facebook at the Facebook fan page, simply The Bill Michaels Show on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. By the way, for those that, and I don't really promote it very often, but I do tweet a ton during the game. Now, sometimes I get into arguments with people, and I don't have a problem backing away from arguments. So sometimes we can throw down. Other times it's just informational stuff. It's statistical stuff. It's some stuff that I see. If I see it, you know, I'll put it out there. You know, it's just there for the viewing, so to speak. So anyway, if you want to become a participant, follow us on Twitter @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. So tomorrow on the program, it's our usual cast of characters. It'll be Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, Eric Brancheck from the Green Bay Press Gazette, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. But tomorrow we get an extra guy to break the game down. We're going to be talking with Ron Wolf tomorrow, the former general manager of your Green Bay Packers. He is going to join us as well. We'll talk with him about this game. We'll talk with him about the state of the franchise. We'll talk with him about Mike McCarthy. All of that is coming up tomorrow on the program. So really, really looking forward to it. And sitting down and chatting with Ron Wolf. So it should be a lot of fun tomorrow on the program. So hopefully you can catch us tomorrow as well. But tonight after the game, Gary Ellerson, yours truly, we're going to be here breaking it all down with Mike Clemens in studio as well. And like I said, hopefully we're talking about a Packers win. For many of you who just aren't believing it, I can't argue with you. I get it. Not a lot to believe in right now. I just got a feeling. Just got a feeling. Is what it is. Just got a feeling. Now, I had the feeling against L.A., fumbled the football, they lost the game. I had the feeling against New England. They were with them for three quarters, then they peed it away. I knew they'd beat Miami, and they did. Just got a feeling. I think they can win this game. But they're going to have to play mistake-free football, and I'm talking about turnovers, special teams, and just not killing their own energy. You know? Just that's it. A lot of this stuff has been self-inflicted. Can they correct that coming up tonight? That's the question. So I'm done for now, but we'll talk again tonight after the ball game. Until then, have a go and shoot!